Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the Geek Enders podcast. Mega Ran, Jesse and Dodger, what up? Let's go.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow and see what the Geek Enders are all about.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt. Yo, another end of another long week. Got a job and a kid, I know that you're all beat. So take a second, grab a drink and vibe while we catch you up in just a matter of time on gaming, comics, whatever you're doing. If you're nerdy like us, then you know you should tune in. Thank you for sharing our world with us. Now follow, subscribe, and turn this up.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on, scream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Geek Enders. I'm so sorry. I'm so completely out of it. It is June the 12th. Welcome, welcome. We have an amazing guest on, the lovely, clever, hilarious Lexi. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Wow, it's such a generous intro. Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
When we first started doing Geek Enders, I was trying to think of people who I thought would be lovely guests to have on. You were one of the first people, one of the first persons that got recommended to come on.
Oh, my God. That's so sweet.
And then
my husband's trying to mount something to me.
A year and a half later.
Do you think he's going to fall? Did she say mount?
I don't know. I think she said mount. My husband, my husband is coming to mount me.
I'm pretty sure I heard exactly that.
Yeah, no, that's
Should
what
we
I heard.
Hum loudly just in case?
I'm sorry.
No, okay. I'm not gonna. Oh, hey.
Hey, how was it?
How was it?
I had such a great time, guys. It's good to be back, though.
Yeah, we figured you would. Yeah, we figured.
My sweet love just woke up, and he thought that our child was abandoned at a cricket match, so I had to go assure him that she is fine.
Somebody got her.
She's okay. We're good.
Suddenly the whole intro thing's making sense now. Yeah, everything's starting to come together for me.
Are either of you the sort of person who, like, somebody can wake you up and have a conversation with you, but if you're not ready to wake up, you won't remember that conversation?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like I'm like, you could tell me and I'm gonna
Wait, are you like that, Dodger?
No, not at all, but Sam is.
Oh, neither am I.
Okay.
Neither am I. Okay. Yeah. I was about to say, like, I'm about to start hitting everyone very early with, like, some dark secrets.
All right, I'll slide you my number, and then you can just be like, so yesterday.
Yeah.
With the radio waves. Yeah,
but we'd have to do it, like, I can't send you a text.
No, you have to call me.
Evidence.
I have to answer and go, what?
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then I hang
up. Really
and
early,
I'm like, I had the weirdest dream. Somebody was murdered. Yeah.
Like a lot of people, actually. It was a long confession.
It was
like there was bodies.
It's my meds. It's got to be
multiple
my meds.
Multiple bodies.
They're giving me weird dreams.
I've reached the point now in my relationship with my husband where it's like, if he is not fully awake when I'm having a conversation with him, I have to kind of assume that he'll probably forget it ever happened because he sleeps so hard. So
I feel like you could use that to your advantage. You're like clearing out a fight very early in the morning. You're like, so you were actually a dick yesterday.
Honestly, it would be really easy to gaslight him, which sounds fucked up. But like if we were arguing about something, it would be so easy for me to be like, I literally told you about this.
And it was in the morning. And he'd be like, you know that I don't remember things in the morning. You know this.
It's fucked up. Don't do that. But like you could. That's all I'm saying.
write that down for both of you. Just for later.
No, wait. Anywho, how's your guys' weeks been? How are you guys doing?
Great. I'm great. I have a three-year-old, so I feel like literally I was telling my stream the other day that my day is like, it's like horrible. And then it's like, oh my God, we had such a nice afternoon. And this bedtime is awful. And then I'm like, it was fine. I just cried myself to sleep.
It did sound like you were saying that more for yourself than us, to be honest.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. It's fine.
Just to convince. Yeah, it's fine. It's great. Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
No, it's been good.
That's good.
What about you?
Three is fun. Three is a fun age, I think. But it feels like every age has like a new huge hurdle to like figure out.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I think I'm so glad we're done with that last thing. Oh, but there's a new thing now.
Mm-hmm. I think that I gave birth to a tiny version of me and I'm very spirited, which I think is a wonderful trait to have. But when that toddler is just as spirited as you.
Right.
It could be frustrating for some people.
And you're like, I have to be the adult here and that's not fair.
No. And I'm
and that sucks.
I'll be like, and I'm fighting with a 3-year old.
Yay.
Noted. I'm better than this.
Yeah, I frequently have moments where I get really annoyed about something and it sucks because I have to sit there and be like, why does that piss me off so bad? Why is this making me so
you're like
annoyed? I don't want to have to like unpack that, but I have to be a good parent right now, I guess.
It's the worst. Yeah, I don't want to find out any more about myself and I can't believe he's making me.
You know what? I'm done, actually.
I've heard enough.
I don't want to do this.
And anymore. If I find out anything, I'm going to have to confessional style call somebody and tell them when they're half asleep. So
there you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you figure out something that's truly horrifying about yourself, you know that.
Can I call Sam if you want?
You can
don't
call
mind?
Sam. He won't Thank remember.
You. Okay, yeah, perfect. Yeah.
He's going to sleep through that call. Let's be clear. That call's not getting picked up.
He's like, I can't hear you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun though. Yay, kiddo.
Yay.
I feel like we've had so many dads on this show, but not so many moms, oddly enough.
There's not a lot. Can I say there's not a lot of us? Not in that weird way, but I feel
in this space, you mean?
We're like already in a male dominated space, and it's very cool to be like, I'm a gamer and a dad. And everybody's like, hell yeah, we love gamer dads. And they're like, you're a mom? What did you do with your vagina? They're like, you did what? And then they get immediately disinterested in it.
The thing that killed me after having my kid was like, anytime I tried to push past.
You really did. And I'm not going to let it go because that was an incredible. The line, they're disinterested in it, is incredible. Is incredible.
They're disinterested in it.
It gets right to the point of what I was thinking the entire time of why there are less gamer mommies on the stream. And it like cut right to the quick. I was like, that's
it.
There's your answer.
You're like, I can't believe you ruined the moneymaker. How am I supposed to watch you play a video game without your pussy out? Yeah. What are you thinking?
You've ruined every fantasy of mine. How dare you?
Yeah. You're like, it's like, I can only imagine you're like happily married with a child. And then that person is like, you have a kid? Oh, well, before you could just get divorced. But now that I know you have a child,
I guess.
God. Tainted our entire relationship.
My fantasies. Yeah. No, I feel very lucky to not have a community like that. Like, I have a bunch of like weird gay people watching me. Love you. And I feel like and they're very chill, or they're also moms. We call my chat recently, we've called them the most fertile chat on Twitch, because I'm not kidding. Like, once a week, someone comes
Hold
in
on,
and is like, did you want to write that one down?
Yeah. What is your, when do you stream?
So, often? So that's 8:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until about 2:30. PM Eastern Standard Time. Right.
And you said they were fertile? Yes?
Incredibly. Yeah.
Like, okay. You could be too. If you just watch Lexi, you could also be quite fertile.
Right. No, yeah. No, I mean, like, as a person who doesn't want to have kids, that is, I'm showing up. You know what I'm saying? I'm be like, hey, yo.
I heard somebody in here trying to get pregnant.
Yeah, like,
and they all
I don't want to be responsible for any of this, but I will help out.
I you know what? And I'll recommend you. Would you like me to recommend you?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm not going to stick around. I won't even be involved. Yeah, I don't even want it. Like, you do your thing, baby.
Trying to make a dream a reality.
Yeah, I'm just here to help. And I'm here to facilitate.
It's gifting. It's charity when you think about it.
Yeah, and if you really think about it, so altruistic is what I am.
That's really sweet of you.
You know, I'm just out here trying to help.
I'm writing that down so I can share that with them.
And you know what? You should, especially the more fertile. Yep. The more, the better.
I'm just going to next time you're going to come in a stream, probably first time ever.
Face there.
And it's going to be like an ad, like you've taken an ad out on my wall in case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 That sucks. I don't want that. People are going to be like, what the shoe is this guy?
I have a printer in a dream.
Call
so.
From the police.
Oh, so true. Yeah.
I bought a laminator. Anything's possible.
I also have a laminator. They're pretty great.
It's life-changing.
Huge fan. I think if I also
is this a mom thing?
Honestly, or I think it might be a mom thing.
It's kind of, yeah.
My friend was like, she's a mom, and she's like, you should get a laminator. And I was like, that's dumb. I bought one immediately.
Honestly, there's a point where you're like sick of stuff getting crumpled and ripped.
And like wet. And you're like,
I could do a thing with this that protects it forever.
Yes.
That's so cool.
I can fix anything.
Unless it's any document the government needs.
Sure.
That's the crazy thing.
Those should not
why
be your,
can't
your
we
child
laminate
anyway.
Them?
They're like the flimsiest pieces of paper, and they're like, save this for your entire life. You're like, what? Why can't I laminate that? They're like, don't you do that.
Don't. They don't like you doing anything to government documents. Anything preserving whatsoever.
Don't copy them. Don't reprint them.
No.
Don't sell them on the internet.
Any of that.
No.
The edges of my Social Security card are frayed beyond existence. And I'm just like, well, hopefully no one's going to need this exact item or else I'm real screwed.
But you'll have it. It's just frayed.
Yeah. The ink is wearing off. It's, it's falling apart,
that's
but that's
good
fine.
Enough for them. It's very valid.
Yeah.
The paper.
Do you think that's sort of like the symbolism? They're like, the longer you have it, it, like you, will fall apart.
Oh, my God. I don't think America believes in symbolism, personally.
How dare you, Eagles!
I was going to say that when I had my kid, it felt like any time I streamed, somebody in chat would be like, where's your child right now? As though there weren't other adults in
Who
her life.
Who is going to take care
help.
Of that kid? They were like, you're letting it climb the stairs on its own?
That's crazy. You're just leaving it alone to fend for itself?
Yeah. I feel like luckily I didn't have that issue, but there was no man involved. So I feel like with men involved, they are made it like, well, he can't take care of the kid.
It's not. Yeah, definitely not him.
It has to be you.
That's what I'm saying.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Honestly. All right. I think when there's a dad / husband / whatever in the house, for some reason, everybody's like, well, he's
doing
other
he's shit.
Busy. Yeah.
He's very busy. He's falling off a roof. He's
doing daddy
he
shit.
He did fall off a roof. And you know what's funny? It was horrifying and scary, and he's fine. But like one of the farmers nearby, I was having a conversation with him, and I like as a side note was like, yeah, well, Sam can't do it because he hurt himself. He fell off the roof. And the farmer was like, which roof? And I pointed at the building that he fell off of, and he was like, oh, that's not that high.
That's a very farmer response. Also, the fact that you were like, I was talking to a farmer, and the farmer was like, he can file off the building, and he'll be good. Give him a beer. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very, like, guy response. Like, he fell? How high? Oh, yeah, he'll be fine.
Farmers specifically, because like in my hometown, there was a huge issue with like farmers letting shit get so bad before they ever went to the doctor. And like my grandpa, this is going to sound like a goof. It's not. My grandpa had his whole foot run over by a tractor and was like, it'll be fine. And sure. It wasn't.
Yeah.
Did he get it removed? What happened? No. I thought you were going to say they took the whole thing off. He's like, and they cut it off in the backyard.
But it was very broken. And he was like, it'll be fine. And we had to like force him to go to the hospital.
Oh, good.
So I think there's also a weird generational thing there of like not trusting doctors. But
yeah, no, my grandfather is like, you can't make me go to the doctor. What, they're going to give me medicine to make me feel good?
That's
what's in that medicine? Yes.
Most older men in my life have, I genuinely believe, got it in their head that the hospital's where you go to die. There's no other
there's
reason to be
very
there.
Very traumatic about it.
Mm-hmm. And so they're like, if I go to the hospital, I'm going to die there. So I'm just not going to go. And it's like, what are you talking? What do you mean? I feel like a lot of people think that.
I feel like in that generation, maybe people did go to the hospital to die. And they
there's a little bit
not realize
that,
that
maybe,
they changed it. They're like, oh, no, that's where they send the soldiers, and the soldiers always die. So I'm not going.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe.
I mean, like, you just have to keep being like, hey, they're there to help. They're not there to try to kill you. That literally goes against all their oaths. Like, that's not. But still, one of my favorite stories, and I'll always remember this because I can't believe it happened. My dad had to go get an MRI. And so he, I guess, just is not down with doctors. But rather than express his feelings like a stable individual, my dad concocted a whole thing where he shows up with a necklace with, like, I think it was like a ring or something on it. And they were like, you need to take that off. And my dad was like, I can't take it off. It's from a soldier who died with me in Nam, and I've never taken it off before. And I literally, my mom calls me, and I'm like, Dad, you've never worn that in your life. What are you doing? Like, what is that? What are you doing?
So first of all, it's called method acting.
Clearly. I'm like,
he was
what
like,
are
if
you
I
doing,
commit,
dude?
What are they going to do about it?
They're going to commit you and an X, baby.
I genuinely believe that he thought that the doctors would be like, well, sir, you know, because of that and your love of this person who you may have made up or not, we are not going to do the MRI. You know what? We're going to give you a clean bill of health. It's all good, my dude. I don't know what he thought, but the fact that there was no thought after that, which was, well, they're going to tell your wife and your wife is going to be like, I don't know what to do. And then call me and I'm going to be like, grow up, old man. Like, that's like,
you're like, unclasp the new necklace you bought at Claire's and take it off.
It'd be incredible if it was like, you know, like a, I don't know, like a half moon or some sort, like,
like a Twilight fan necklace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like engraved
the hands
Edward
with the
Jacob.
Apple.
Yeah, the one ring from Hobbit.
They're like, this is from your friend.
You guys don't know. He was a werewolf on that battlefield. I saw him transform. And he took a bullet for the squad. And I swear to God, I'd never remove his necklace. Team Edward all the way. No, wait, that's Jacob. Team Jacob.
Poor thing. He was very serious about it. And I love to know now that your dad is a very serious Twilight shipper. And I will always remember it.
That's the truth. That's the realist.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. I think I've said this before on this show, but my dad unironically loves the Twilight movies.
No, mine too.
Why?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
My dad is like not. TV, my dad is like a will watch Southern them. Man. Yeah, he loves them. My dad really likes Twilight.
Yeah. I have no idea why.
It calls to them. Maybe they really, I feel like there's something in fathers. It lends itself to furry life. Like, they want that wolf. They don't want to admit it, but they want to watch like the wolf furry fan fiction, but they just can't. But so they watch Twilight instead.
There isn't a lot of wolf content in those movies.
You're right. Maybe not enough.
There really isn't.
Not enough.
Not
Are you upset
enough.
About that? Jesse, sounds like you're.
So I've recently watched them. For years, I'd only ever seen the final one, which says a lot about. I saw the very last movie and was like, I'm sorry, does that werewolf want to get it on with the baby? Yeah. That's what I learned from that last movie.
Yeah.
Right. But I had never seen the other. So finally, recently, I'm not saying over the last month or so, I sat down, got very high, ate donuts, and watched these films. But
as you should.
It definitely happened, and it was an incredible experience. With that said, the first movie, I actually think, is super entertaining.
It's very entertaining.
It transcends. They clearly filmed that movie with vignettes in mind rather than a plot. So there's things
like
happening.
A vibe. They were like, trying to capture a vibe.
Yes, there's a moment where they're all sitting like at school. Well, first off, that movie is like Bella's moving from Arizona because her mom is going off to travel the country with her new husband. Baseball player, and she's gonna go to this small ass town that we are very specifically saying is the smallest town. First high school scene, that high school has 8,000 students. There are so many people there's more people in that high school than there are in the town, and everyone hangs outside in the parking lot, which, by the way, has enough room for, I'm gonna say, 12 cars, and they all hang outside. It's and they're true. All like posted up. Everyone's posted up. The Cullens, when they show up, they have a table and they post. They sit here like, they don't eat anything, they just pose, but then they have food in front of them. At one point, Edward is missing, and there's a carrot where he should be sitting. There's so much to see in this movie.
One of them was forced to carry around a bag of boiled eggs. In that scene, the big buff one carries a bag of boiled eggs. Emmett?
Well, that's because he's the big buff one.
He's like, I don't know what weightlifters eat egg. And then so he just puts a bunch of eggs in a bag. And in that scene, that specific scene, he has a bag of boiled eggs, like 20.
There is so much to see in this movie. It is incredible. Plus, let's be very clear. Later on, they try to like actually act. But the first one is raw, man. The first one, Bella, every scene is like, Jacob, Edward. I don't know, right? But then Edward, when he smells Bella, which, by the way, is the funniest shit on earth, that he can't stand her smell because it's so attractive. He wants to suck her blood so bad because she stinks so good that he's like, the entire movie. It's crazy. Everyone who meets her is like, 100%. Everyone's just like, oh, Bella, you smell like I want to just bite your fucking neck. It's
and
like,
he's got to just do a little chemistry instead. He's like, I really want to sniff you.
Yes, it's crazy. And I love it in the best way possible. I thought Jacob was going to be more important in the first movie. He's in like 5 minutes.
No, Jacob
overall.
Barely exists in the first movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then they spend the next movie is like all the vampires are gone. So now it's time to get in on with Jacob. Not really. And then the next movie, after I thought they established, I thought they established that she was Team Edward. No, the next movie, there is literally a scene. So it's like the entire time, she don't give a damn about Jacob. But Jacob is saying stuff like, you know, I'm fine sharing you. And I'm like, what is happening right now? So then towards the end of the third movie, Bella is freezing her ass off, and Edward's like, I can't keep you warm because I'm so cold. And Jacob's like, don't worry, dog, I got this. He jumps in. There's an entire scene where Edward watches them in bed together.
Yeah, and they're naked.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Edward's
Jacob's naked.
Well, that's a thing. And he's like, yeah, I'm all up on your girl, dude. And they have a conversation, and Bella's like, ooh, I'm so cold. And I'm like, what the shit is this? And then they had the audacity to make more movies.
Need you to read the books. Like, I've never needed anything so bad because they're crazier than the movies.
That's true.
I mean, there's so much. The plot of these films is Edward being like, Bella, I want you so bad, but if we bang, I will kill you with this dick.
And then they do bang, like, and she almost dies.
And she's like, that's what I want, though. Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
She's like, please kill me.
That's what I want, though. Yeah, like, she really wants that. And she won't stop bugging him.
She's like, please,
this man is like, yes. He's like, look, I'm a vampire. The only reason why is because they saved my life. I don't want you to lose your soul. I don't want you, like, he's like, I'm terrified of what will happen to you, girl. He's literally giving her outs. The other girl who's like, blonde, she's like, look, I didn't want this. I don't want you to live this life. This life actually kind of sucks. Yeah. And Bella's like, no, I want that dick. And like, they can't stop. Meanwhile, Jacob comes in and is like, yeah, but have you ever thought about, like, what a cadaver dong feels like, though? And she's like, no, I haven't. And you're like, what is happening? What is the plot of this? The entire franchise. I'm going to say something that I never thought I would say. is the greatest movie franchise that ever existed, hands down. I cannot stress this enough. That shit is so funny from start to finish. I could watch it a million times. I can't believe it exists.
Unironically at like Twilight release parties for the books as a child. So, what's like they also like, I guess they're not as raunchy as you think, but they are really crazy for like.
It's not. No, it's very clearly someone who, I don't know anything about Stephanie, I guess,
she's
who
a
wrote
Mormon.
These.
She's a hardcore Mormon.
Ah, well, this explains what I'm about to say. It very clearly is written from someone who doesn't want to say, hey, teens, go have sex, but also understands that teens are like definitely trying to bone. So so it's like this weird line that's being walked.
Yeah.
But it's goofy as, oh, it's great.
I think that if you all looked the other side up characters, the lore for like why she wrote these books, it would really amuse you. And I think that later today that you should really deep dive into it.
You really should
she's
do
She's like,
that.
She wrote the series because of like My Chemical Romance. And like, and what was the
I've
other?
I've heard that, yes.
The whole thing. And then there's that like lore there like, well, because if 9/11 happened, we'd never have My Chemical Romance. And My Chemical Romance wouldn't have happened. And then we wouldn't have had Twilight. And that's people's like code of.
I love
Hold
trickle
on.
Downs.
Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. I just want to say, since you said, if it wasn't for 9/11, we wouldn't have My Chemical Romance, we wouldn't have Twilight, and if we wouldn't have Twilight, this is crazy,
we wouldn't have 50
Shades
of Grey. We
wouldn't have had the 2010 romantic drama Remember Me, starring Robert Pattinson, Whoa. Where the end is a 9/11 twist.
Oh, it all comes full circle.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that we wouldn't have had 50 Shades of Grey, which is also true.
I don't care about 50 Shades of Grey.
But 50 Shades of Grey is fan fiction about Twilight, so you have to start
watching it insists upon itself.
I think they're almost as, I've seen 50 Shades of Grey almost as much as Twilight because they're just so ridiculous. Like the whole, and they have that awkward. Have you seen them?
I haven't engaged with it at all.
Oh my God, you have to watch them. I didn't. Oh no, I did read them. I'd seen them all and I was like, I should, they're just as bad. They're so bad, they're good in like the best way possible. Cause you're like, what is happening? It's the same exact plot. Like she's awkward and he's cocky and weird. And then there's another random guy, but it's sex. And that's like, so it's so bizarre. And the acting is the same because Dakota Johnson is also that same kind of like awkward actress as,
yeah,
they really got it. They really did something there. They were like, we got what you liked, but we added much more sex to it. We took the Mormonism out.
Yeah.
The Mormons, right. They're gone.
Rid of that. Right.
No, they're horrible. And I think you guys should partake, please.
I did message Dodger at some point, just to give you a timeline of what I was thinking. I messaged you a clip of this girl who was doing a Bella Swan impersonation, but she was saying like,
yes,
I don't know what the line was. It was something about shaved something. And it was great. Just all the Bella-isms, the way she chose to show, like, I feel like she was trying to display this, like, I'm awkward. Like, that was the acting choice, but it comes off crazy.
I think she also is just insane. like low key. When you watch her do an interview, she kind of is just like that IRL. Like, she's not, Kristen Stewart, like, in general, is so awkward. Like, she almost is literally that awkward that you're like, are you okay? Like, in interviews, she looks like she's gonna pass out. She's like, I don't wanna be here.
I don't know what the vibe is because I feel like, in the books, probably, but definitely in the movie, the idea of Bella is the stand-in character for the reader. Like, nondescript, like an average person, even though she's gorged, but like average. Mm-hmm. And you can put yourself into the role because then suddenly all these guys want you. And you're like, oh yeah, I get that. But as a guy watching this, this school is filled with gorgeous, beautiful women. And the fact that every dude is like, Bella, I will kill every other man here to have 10 minutes of your time. And I'm like, there's one character who will not leave her alone.
Yes.
Yet literally he's got multiple girls trying to go to prom with him. There's all these guys are like, Bella, baby.
She's different. She's
different,
aloof. Jessie.
She's different. She's self-insert.
She's built different.
It's like going back and watching that Spider-Man movie where Mary Jane is like, you know what, Peter, you suck. But there's like a third perfectly wonderful woman who's like, Peter, I just want to spend time with you. And he's like, no, I only love Mary Jane. I'm like, no.
Mary Jane's built different.
They're different. I don't like it.
I don't like it.
They don't like the average coffee drink. They take it black. They're different. There's no creamer. There's no sugar. It's different here. They brought a book to the movie, One Direction concert.
Oh my God. They left their phone at home and brought a book. That's so true.
There is a plot point that I don't know where it goes, but the dad, I swore to God, was going to get on with the vampire. There is a plot point where the vampire just keeps showing up at his house, and I was like, yo, is dad boning down with his vampire? No. But like, what is the dad? Dad doesn't do anything. I thought there was going to be a plot with the dad. No plot.
Want justice for Charlie, for sure. Charlie needed to have a vampire fling, and we didn't get it.
I thought for sure, because girl keeps being there. And I was like, okay. And they were like, you know, bunny, bunny. And I was like, all right, okay. Nope.
No.
Nothing.
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 He does later fall in love and have a relationship, but it's with somebody from the wolf tribe. So, T.
Damn.
What the shit did I just learn? What do you mean?
The dad marries one of the moms from Jacob's tribe.
Yo, first off, awesome for the dad. Second off, is it one of those situations? I, having now watched the movies, I know that you can be like, yeah, you know, I'm in love with this girl and we've been married for years, but my wolf power took over. And now I'm instantly attracted to this girl, so I guess everyone understands that I have to leave this other woman.
Well,
maybe this wolf lady imprinted on Charlie and was like, oof, I gotta get in there.
That's what I'm saying, though.
The
imprinting situation is...
Do they not?
I don't know.
Hmm.
Also, I would like to make an addendum to my earlier statement that a werewolf fell in love with the baby.
He did fall in love with the baby.
A werewolf did not fall in love with a baby. I'd like to change that statement.
Mm-hmm.
A werewolf fell in love with the pre-impregnated egg.
The ovary. He was the whole ovary
that's
with
so
his.
So much worse.
Technically, that's what happened.
That's so
because
much
he says, oh, I was attracted to you because of that future baby.
He could smell her
there
egg.
There was no baby. Yeah.
Yeah. He was like, that egg is going to grow up and be one banging 18-year-old, I swear. But only when she's 18.
I can't wait to see your creepy CGI face.
Oh, my God.
I can't wait to father her until she becomes an adult.
That is,
get me out of
here. You know, I did not expect us to talk about Twilight. That was not on my bingo card for the day.
I didn't expect
Jesse talked
to go
about
this
Twilight
long,
a little bit last week, I think. He's like really thinking about it a lot.
This is a new experience for me. This is a whole new thing.
See, I think that if I experienced it for the first time, I wouldn't be able to stop talking about it either.
Yeah. I can't not think about it. It's insane.
You're like
it's
laying
an
in bed at night.
Thing.
Like, well, if you need to call somebody at 6 a.m. and just talk about Twilight, I got you. You call me, I won't remember a thing. You tell me all
of
your
memory. Any of it. Yeah.
Perfect.
It's my own existential crisis. Some people lay in bed and think about the infinity of the universe and our small place within it. And I'm over here like, a werewolf fell in love with a like an ovum. Like, what do you mean? What do you mean? Yeah, that's where I'm at.
I love this. This is a wonderful arc for you to experience.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Lexi, have you been watching or reading or playing anything that you can't stop thinking about?
I just started playing Solar Punk 2 days ago. She's fresh out the womb. And I played like 2 back-to-back streams, 4 hours straight, not blinking. I can always tell, this is what I tell my chat, I can tell when a game is good because I wear contacts. And if I have to leave that stream to put my glasses on because I'm not blinking, that's when I know the game is good. I'm like, manually blinking. I was just so locked into Solar Punk. I feel like the past few months for games, I've been like back-to-back into bangers. Like, really enjoyed Pucopia and then immediately went in disgustingly hard into Tomodachi Life and then immediately into Solar Punk. So it's been, and then Subnautica 2's early access was also great.
I still haven't done that one. And to be honest, I don't think I know anything about Solar Punk if you want to pitch it.
Oh my God.
It's really good.
It's so good. It's like a survival game, but you're on floating islands. It's multiplayer and you can get to the other islands with little airships. And the vibe is very like cottage core. Like you grow and farm and it's clean energy. So you're trying to like harness the sun and get a windmill, and it's like, and you build a house and furniture, and the furniture is good and it's beautiful and there's animals. So it's like a farming sim on islands with airships and your friends.
Dodger, do you remember years ago the ad, I think it was an ad for Oregon, that was like future tech but mixed with like plants and animals?
Yes.
And
yes,
that's this game come to life.
Weird.
That's it.
That sounds beautiful. Great. Yeah, it's great.
It's great.
I've enjoyed her heavy. I feel like she's been great. But you've never played. Did you play any of the others? Have you played like Pocopia? You know, the big three that have come out. Your big three?
The big three. We played a little bit of Pocopia. My kid started playing Tomodachi Life, and I was kind of like helping with that. So I would like, she only wanted to make family members.
Okay.
And I really want to throw some weirdos in there, but she's dead set on only making family members.
And are they all related?
Yeah. So
they can't date or
nobody's
anything.
Kissing each other. There's no babies. It's just like,
there's the drama.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, we got to throw some weirdos in here, honey, to start shit, you know?
You're like, this is how you play the video game. So somebody needs to be a freak. Where are the freaks at?
There this is no very normal in here, honey. We gotta change it up. Yeah,
switch this. I really enjoyed the doodling aspect of Tomodachi. Like, I was finding myself like pulling my Switch 2 into my bed at night after stream hours and like drawing little dresses for my little Tomodachi characters late
that
in the evening.
Very cute.
So that was really nice. I felt like it was like therapeutic.
Yeah. Yeah, the most dramatic thing that's happened, and I did, I think, complain about this a couple weeks ago, but my kid really wanted to watch my me and Sam's me fall in love. And unfortunately, what happened is I became obsessed with Sam, and Sam kept being like, she's my best friend in the whole wide world.
Oh, no.
And I was like, you gotta confess, bitch, or nothing's ever gonna happen. And eventually she was like, I just don't think it's going anywhere, and fell out of love. And now they just live together.
They live
together. And yeah.
I love that. Like, your kid's like, this sucks. How old is the kid? Is that, I don't know if you talk about it. Love. How old is she?
Oh, she's 8.
Okay. So she's like old enough to be like, this isn't serious, but it's serious to me. Yes, see, my son would be like, what do you mean?
It was serious real. Enough that when she realized they probably weren't going to fall in love, she stopped playing for a while.
She was like, this is not okay. I don't want to see
like,
it.
I don't like this. Yeah. So, so that's been the most dramatic thing. But other than that, it's literally she just made all of her little cousins and they all like hang out in the game.
Right? My dog's having a terrible nightmare behind me.
Oh, that's okay.
What kind of dog is it? I have two pit mixes. They're flat on the ground right now, but they're literally both dead asleep spooning each other. Actually, it might be worth moving the camera for. Like, what is happening? They're like just completely spooning each other. That's just fart city back there. I cannot.
Oh my gosh. They're so cute though.
They are so cute.
Aww.
Yeah, I made a lesbian Disney princess utopia in Tomodachi Life. And I was like, I'm going to make all the Disney princesses and then I'm going to see who kisses who and what the tea is. And immediately Cinderella and Tiana got married and then they immediately got divorced.
Oh my God. Whoa. Yeah. Whoa.
Like, this is horrible. And then they continue to live together. And Cinderella's reason was like, I just think I shouldn't have gotten married yet. And we were like, what the? And then they like show you terrible cut scenes of like what went wrong in their marriage. And
oh no, like
bottles all over the floor. And they just, you watch them slowly fall out of love and they play sad music. And then now we all hate Cinderella. I put her in her peasant dress. She's the worst. I hate Cinderella. She's and she would like go around and she would talk shit about everybody. We were like, that's so Cinderella. Like, she's just such a like. She's like, she owns this place. She
likes to pretend that she's so nice, but
no. But she's just a mean girl. Yeah.
Right. Right. Anybody else? Anybody else kissing or?
Well, I made my chat. Well, I made my chat as me. And then actually my chat married Tiana. So Tiana's happily remarried to my entire chat. So good for them.
Nice.
Happy Pride. Gosh. And then I think Rapunzel and Ariel are married.
Okay.
And Pocahontas and Kida from Atlantis. They're married.
Yes. Okay.
And they have a kid named Poquita, which is their Poquita. Names combined. And that's yeah, the only kid. Nobody name. Else will have any kids. So gay of them. Everybody just keeps getting a crush on each other and nobody will admit anything. It's just lesbians. I hate it.
Dude.
Somebody fess yeah. up.
Is there anything that you can do in the game to like encourage them to do that or not?
I just keep dropping them next to each other and being like, oh, you're in close proximity. I hope you don't interact. Oh, oopsies. I hope you don't kiss. Yeah, I made myself as a me and my character. You can make your character like talk loud or quiet. So mine's constantly yelling and calling me slurs, which is horrible. And then she's like, you gay. And then she's in love with Nala from The Lion King, but Nala just doesn't even know I exist. So I'm just going to stay celibate forever, I guess, in Tomodachi life. But I haven't checked on them. My original ones were Obama and Harry Styles, and I abandoned them completely.
Oh, wait. So are they still on Lesbian Princess Island, or did you remove them?
You actually can have, so Vice, like, not like Animal Crossing, you can have like 8 different worlds for Tomodachi. So you can have like multiple saves on your Switch. You can have 8. So as many users you can have on your Switch, you can have worlds. So I made one and then I was like, no, I'll make another one for my Disney princesses. So they live on their own. They didn't get together. It was terrible. I think that Obama or Harry Styles ended up marrying Larry the Cucumber. And that's when I checked out. It was that or Bowser. And I was like, I've had enough of this.
I get both of those, though.
Yeah. You get it? Obama Larry, and Bowser.
Larry's a funny dude. Yeah.
He's a funny guy, but we all hated Larry. He was kind of a creep. I gave him a camera and he was taking pictures of everyone.
Oh, no, Larry.
I mean, that's what cameras are for, though. You set that up.
Yeah, but like.
No, but like from behind a bush, Jesse, is that what you use your camera for?
No.
Okay. All right. Well. That's not what the sign on the back of my wall says.
I just like taking photos of insects.
Do you actually take pictures of bugs?
No.
Oh,
no.
I was like, is this lore that I need that to know was, about?
That would be a good hobby reveal.
That was the nicest version of Jesse in a bush joke I could make. That's what I went with. Yeah. But then you brought up the thing in the background, and I was like, damn, wrong joke. Should have went with the other one. Should have went dirty with it.
You messed up. Dang it.
What a fool!
Caterpillars.
There's another universe. There's an AU where you said the.
We heard it.
And honestly, that's the one where Jesse gotten like someone was like, "What is his deal? What happened to him to make him like this?" Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lexi, have you played or have you heard of the Red to Empress games before I launch into this?
I recently started Road to Empress. I'm like halfway through the first. Actually, I don't know how long because they're much longer than I thought. I was like, we're gonna finish this game today on my second stream, and I think it's actually like a 40-hour game.
The first one,
yeah. So I know the second one just released.
Yes.
How long is the first one?
The first one took me 7.5 hours because I checked, because the second one is long. I feel like the first one was way shorter.
Oh my God. So did you, I haven't finished the first one, but the vibe, I didn't. So just for reference, I played Road to Empress. I pre-recorded some of it before I went on a vacation and then it went live. And I guess I didn't realize they were basically all there to sleep with the emperor. I was like, oh, he's going to pick one as a wife. And I was like playing this game and I was like, oh, I didn't know they were little prostitutes, basically like bougie whores. I had no clue. And they were like, do you not know what a consort is? And I was like, I guess I didn't know, guys. I didn't really think about it.
Yeah.
Because I kind of thought they were saying consort because it's like translated. So I was like, maybe they're just like picking a wrong word because they were dressed so nice and it kind of looked like a dating sim. So I was like, he's going to date one of these. No.
Nope.
No.
That's not what happened to me. There's a lot of murder. And I was like, I'm not going to sleep with the emperor. You can't make me.
Yeah. Jesse and I played the first one and it came out. I have, as of today, finished the second one, but it was way longer than the first one. Second one took me like 17, 18 hours to play.
Oh my God. It's like, it's like a movie. Like I feel like you're like just watching a movie. And did they fix it so you can slow down the dialogue at the bottom?
Dude, I have to pause frequently and be like, what the fuck? Because the subtitles just zoom by sometimes and I cannot tell what they were saying. Yeah.
Okay, so good. No, they didn't fix it. It's the same in the second one. Great.
No. You can change the speed of
Yeah, but then they talk scenes, that
but
slow.
But then it's weird. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think these games are the perfect amount of campy. Like, they take themselves just seriously enough to feel like a really high quality soap opera. And I think that's so fun. Like, I laughed, I cried, you know, they're so funny, I think.
So in that time that you spent 17 or whatever hours, how often did you die?
Oh, God.
Oh, well, I feel like.
Oh, you can't tell us that you're going to ruin a plot point.
No, I won't. Oh, but okay. I will tell you, Lexi, that when I played the first one, I died, I think, 47 times.
Yeah.
And Jesse died 8 times.
What?
Something like that.
And a bunch of those deaths were from this exact same thing.
I was trying to save a character and it was, I couldn't do it. And I kept dying and I was like, no. Other than that, I had almost a clean run. I felt very good.
So I even said this to chat when I started playing the second one. I was like, here's the thing is I think I'm going to see a bunch of shit Jesse won't, because Jesse's going to try really hard to die as little as possible again.
Yeah, well, you really get to know a lot about the story by dying.
You, so much crazy shit happens when you are totally fine with dying.
They're like, we're going to give you this soup. Drink it. Drink the soup on repeat. You were killed by rats and the rats ate your body. And you're like, oh,
soup never got me. I never got souped.
Dude, my aunt was just force feeding me drug soup.
For real. I died to soup so many times.
Nobody's ever said that.
I don't know how many times I died in this game. It's gotta be at least 60.
Okay.
Like a lot.
I was really surprised how high quality they were the first game. I was like,
it's great. That's the best part.
You know, it's like filmed so beautifully and they're all so beautiful that you're like, wow, I am at the movies right now.
Mm.
I'm trying to figure out where I am in the second game, but I'll simply say a character died and it was really sad. And I got to that point. I'm untouchable. Nothing can kill me. I've seen through the Matrix code. There's two things I'm operating on. One, mandate of heaven. Two, impropriety. I'm little fingering this shit. I'm like, would this be like, is this like a proprietary situation that I would want to be caught in? Or do the heavens will this moment to happen? Once you're clocked in, once you're in your Dynasty Warriors 3 mode, there's nothing. I can't be beaten. I am a stone cold. I am Wu Zaitan. I'm about to come in there and just be Empress of China. I'm ready. This game, like when you start the second game, it redoes the end of the first game. And I was like, it gives you the options like, are you done? Or do you wish to ascend again? I was like, bitch, we're going back. We're taking all these hoes out. I was ready. I'm clocked in. I'm ready. No one's standing in my way. Every time I meet a character from the first game, I'm like, well.
Can I tell
you? I'm about to kick your ass.
Can I tell you something?
They continue the story from the first one. It's not like a different set of characters.
No, it's a continuation.
It's the same.
Okay. Same main character.
Continuation.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to, without spoiling anything or what triggers it, I will tell you that in the second game, there is a side story that you can do that is not the main story at all. And it is 4 hours long if you continue with it.
Oh my God.
And
you just go back to the main story?
Yeah. And then I hit an ending and I was like, oh, okay. And then I had to backtrack to the point where it split into the side story and go back and continue from there. Yeah. But
imagine the filming days for these actors.
Literally, they filmed so much extra shit. They were like, this is not, because Empress Wu was like a real person, right? So they're like, this is not her real life. This is not what she actually did. But like, what if?
They're like, and what if we wrote hours of a what if?
You literally, like, here's our fanfic about her life if she did this.
My favorite bit, my favorite bit about these games entirely is the one prince who always wears white. I can't remember his name to save my life.
The gay one.
Like G, I think. Every time he appears on film, he does like a slow walk and he goes, cue music, slow motion, sparkles on the outside, all this like dramatic. And he goes directly to camera, like smoldering to camera. It's crazy. And I'm like, I love this game. This game is incredible.
So the plot is predetermined. Like you can't really change it. You just die. So the gay one always dies.
Yeah.
That was like the first real thing that happened to me. I was like, you guys are forcing me to have this gay murder scene happen in my lab. I think that the first thing that I did was get murdered in the game with the beads in your hair. And I was like, what is
that?
I did not think that's how the game was played. Yeah.
They were like, this girl is your best childhood friend, and she betrayed you and got you killed. And I was like, all right. Went back in, tried again to be nice, dead. I was like, okay, little finger time. And from that point on, no mercy. Anyone I met, it wasn't like, do I love this person? It's like, no, I'm going to use this person. Any person who was in my way, I was like, I'm not going to show my cards to you, but I will betray you and kill you. Like, everyone, I don't care. I'm going to get to the top. I'm going to be on that throne. And I'm going to, like, Li Ji, that's cool. You can come too if you want. You're wrapped around my finger, but I don't need you, sir. I don't need you. Like, that's, I'm going to be the greatest empress who ever lived. Hands down. It's happening.
So that's just, I was like, let me just die over and over and over again until I figure it out, I guess. I love that you were big braining it, though. I was like, I think I'm gonna try to get as much of that lesbian storyline as humanly possible. Where's her kid at? What's up with her hat?
Yeah.
It's great. I loved it. Yep. I need to finish her bad.
Yes. It's so fun.
Yeah, and then definitely
hearing that so long, I was not prepared. All right. Okay.
No, because again, I accidentally stumbled into a side quest
that you may never see.
That you may never see. Mm-hmm. I was in a side quest and I was like, oh, this is actually much shorter than the other one. No.
No.
I wasn't even playing the main game.
You were like, you know, my favorite thing in a video game is when there's a game inside of the video game, like you're playing like Knights of the Old Republic and you're actually just locked into Sabacc or something. Like that is like the stuff that really gets me. That's what's happening to you. You're like,
oh, you mean Gwent in Witcher 3?
I've never played any Witchers.
Oh my God.
I know.
First off, you should play Witcher 3 mostly because
of Gwent.
At a certain point, if you go to Skellige in a cave, you'll find Dodger and I as big ugly trolls.
That's
who
true.
We have a farting
fart
problem.
A lot, and you can.
Oh my
kill
God!
Us.
Yeah. I can kill us. Do you fart when you die?
Us. Yeah, we fart a spoilers. Lot pre-death.
Okay,
maybe also post-death. Who knows?
I'll find out.
True.
I have so many notes.
Is that
on
a good sell?
Yeah, no, that's the most positive. Witcher's like one of those things that I'm like, I'm going to play Witcher. It's also one of those things where I'm like, I'm going to finish Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
Will I ever? I don't know.
It's a big
thing. Will anybody ever finish Kingdom Hearts? Maybe not.
No, if they keep making them. No. No.
I think that because I used to work at Disney, everybody's like, you're going to love these games. Play them. And then they're like, I don't know if you've played them. Trying to understand the world of Kingdom Hearts is like trying to understand how to live in Rote Empress. You're like, so who's that guy? And they're like, well, that guy's related to that guy. And don't play this game. Just watch a short summary of all of the lore on YouTube. And I at one point had like a wall of what, who was who, and like red string theorying it, because there's just so many people. And then they announced the new one. So now I'm like, I got to lock back in and figure it out.
It's too convoluted for its own good. And I can't. I played the last one. I played 3. I played 1 and 2, skipped all the side games,
right.
Read up on it, played three, got like 4 hours into three and was like, I hate this game.
You're like, I put so much effort into getting here. And for what?
Mm-hmm. I did not like three at all. I was just like so disappointed. The fact that it was like, hey, I know in the past Kingdom Hearts games, it's been like a fun romp through some like Disney properties. This time you're literally just going to do the movies. Like when I got to the Frozen world and it was literally just doing the movie Frozen, I was like, this sucks ass. I hate this. So
nothing could be worse actually than redoing the plot of Frozen. They really, that's an interesting decision from them. They're like, everybody, nobody knows this plot. Nobody's seen this movie. We should make them redo it.
Yeah. That's what's crazy about it is it's like, yeah. And then they would throw Final Fantasy characters in every once in a while, but not for three. Those, they do not show up at all. I think there's like one scene. And I was like, I don't care enough about Aqua or whoever the hell else side characters they've created for this franchise because I just don't care. But it looks beautiful. I'll give them that. They always look good, but like, I don't give a shit.
I think I'm gonna lock in. I wanna live where they live, the Kingdom Hearts lovers. I wanna live in their brain. Like they really love that series and I wanna get in
you
there.
I wanna commit. I'm really curious because it's been a while since a Kingdom Hearts. And I'm curious how like the demographic of who's gonna wind up playing this game, because surely it's gonna be people who already are into Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, there's not going to be a huge...
And beyond that, I don't know that there's going to be a lot of crossover.
No.
I feel like it depends on what they release when they show off the Disney. From a person who worked at Disney and has that Disney mindset, I feel like if what you show might be interesting to kids who like Disney but also like video games, it might be to get people to at least buy the game. And then once they're in it, be like, what is, because that's me. I was like, I've worked at Disney. I know a lot about Disney. What is, and then I would play the game and be like, I don't know anything about Final Fantasy. So they'd be like, that's they're from Final Fantasy. And I'm like, right. That makes no sense to me. So like, it's just such a weird thing to try to explain to anybody. But I feel like they get people by being like, Rapunzel's there. And they're like, oh my God, yay, Rapunzel. And then you're like in a boss battle. And I can only imagine that Mother Gothel is like half of whatever, they're a Forgotten or something. And she's a cryptid.
The literal best thing hopefully they could do is they just reboot the story. So no one has to know the 8 million other things that you need to know. And just give us a new story with new characters, and I'd be totally fine. Like, all right, yeah, I'm back in. Let's do a new thing. All I want from these games is for them to leverage all the IP they have and give me Goofy. Like, not the character, but, like, I want to have a scene, a battle in one of those games where it's, like, Darth Vader, Sephiroth, Thanos, and I don't know, like, some other character show up, and then they fight Cloud, Luke Skywalker, Iron Man, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then your character's just there for that shit?
I thought at the end of that list you were going to be like, and Goofy's there.
Well, Goofy would be there.
Goofy. Okay.
And Donald, yeah.
Okay, but you mean like Goofy the act, like the silly.
Yes, the whole thing I want it to be just over the top and silly. That's what I want. For like one fight, just give me that. Where it's like the most over the top, like it's dudes flying around. Like I want to see a combo between Darth Vader and Sephiroth. I want crazy shit. And they do crazy just in the least compelling way.
I don't know. Did you see them in their like half turtle fins? That really turned me. I was like, and so what, Donald is a turtle?
He's a turtle duck.
He's a turtle duck, not a turtle dove. What I've experienced so far is truly mind-boggling for me as a person trying to understand it. I think they will never change it. Final Fantasy, I feel like you've played Final Fantasy. I feel like maybe I've seen
it.
Did you play it online or something? Anyway, so I feel like that's like so much to know. And that's never going to change. I feel like that's Kingdom Hearts is like, well, this is, you just have to know it. You have to at some point in time figure it out.
Yeah, I feel like the reason why 3 didn't have a lot of Final Fantasy stuff is because they were like, we're going to hit the Disney. Just like the way you were describing it, a lot of people who are really into Disney will see Disney stuff. Yeah, yeah, I get it. It's just clearly not for me. But I'm not going to be like, and that means it's shit and no one can enjoy it. Like, no, it just wasn't for me. But like, I understand why they did it. I just, now there's so much stuff, just like how you're saying there's too much Final Fantasy stuff to know what the hell's going on with Final Fantasy when it comes into the game. I think there's too much lore for the world they created that they should just like bring new characters in, start a new fresh story. If you want to include some old lore for it, cool, whatever. But like, there's so many games, and the fact that it's like, well, don't play the game, just watch the 45-minute movie online is crazy. There's so much to know.
That is so crazy that people are like, so just watch this guy's summary. It's going to be way easier. Mm-hmm. And the game is bad. Yeah. So just don't play that one. I love it.
It's always a red flag
that.
To me when people are like, don't play the game.
No, that one
it,
in the middle.
Don't play it.
Like, I played it when I was three, and so because I played it when I was three, I love it. But if you play it right now,
I love it and I think about it all the time, but do not play it. I cannot
don't touch it.
I'm just like, yeah, I think generally when it comes to storytelling in video games, my number one pet peeve is the expanded universe content that they cram into the main game and expect you to have dealt with that. I hate when people do that. So like, more recently in Final Fantasy, when they re-released Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, right? In that one, they introduce a character who's from a mobile game that they're like, well, if you played this Japanese-only mobile game, you know who this is. I'm like, stop doing this. It's like when Warcraft adds a character and you're like, it's from a book. And I'm like, stop doing this. Like, expanded universe stuff should stay out there and it should exist and amplify the thing, but the main thing should be the main thing. Stop adding the bonus shit. It drives me crazy. I'm like, now I gotta do homework to know what the hell I'm playing?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I do think it's difficult because I understand the inclination to like do multimedia, right? To have your franchise touch into books and comics and a TV show and whatever else. So like, how do you know what is okay to pull from those other things that won't make it too confusing? And clearly Kingdom Hearts was not done right because nobody knows what the fuck is going on in those games.
Oh no, there are people who do and they will tell you all about it.
They actually have a degree and they're going to tell you they have a BA in Kingdom Hearts. Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
BA in KH.
They're like, here is this popsicle. It tastes like salt. And you're going to sit here and you're going to listen to me talk to you about Kingdom Hearts until you pass out.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Enjoy. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. But preferably they do it in a Mickey Mouse voice. They're like, haha, come on, Sora. Let's go defeat the Heart of Darkness. And you're like, Mickey, did you just say that?
Please.
Yeah. Mickey will be like, the Kingdom Hearts is inside you, Sora. And you're like, Mickey Mouse is saying these words. This is Mickey Mouse saying, he's like, we have to defeat the evil that lurks in the hearts of men. And you're like, Mickey, you are saying these words. It's crazy. Honestly, that's worth the price of admission alone. It's just to hear Mickey, Donald, and Goofy say genuinely insane shit. It's great.
It feels like to me, like it's similar to the feeling as a person who worked at Disney. Disney takes itself so seriously. Like it's very serious. And so to see them have like anything even related to violence was so shocking to me, I think.
Yeah.
And then to have that go from that to pivot into having Disney like incorporate himself into Fortnite and give them guns is so crazy nuts to me that I literally in that same regard, I'm like, so you're adding the Disney characters to Fortnite and they're going to hold like what, an AK-47? And they're like, yes. And you're like, okay, so I thought it was weird when Mickey Mouse had, like, I don't know, magic powers that were violent towards, like, these scary creatures. But, like, no, it's fine. We're going to kill our friends. I got it.
It feels sort of adjacent to, I don't know if you were ever into the Archie comics, but the Archie company used to be, like, scary about Archie characters and how they were depicted and stuff. Like they would go after fanfic writers. Like they were really intense about it because they were like, our characters are for kids and we don't want kids to see them in situations where they're confused about whether or not it's real, that it's like what we are actually condoning as part of the Archie universe. And then they made the Riverdale show.
That, I had no idea they used to be like basically Disney-ified. I had no clue. Yeah. I just know Riverdale, basically.
Yeah, and then they made Riverdale, and they were like, what if all these kids were doing drugs and sucking and whatever
singing.
Else?
And sucking!
I will say that a few weeks back, on the internet, there was this thing posted. I did it too old for this, about this post that was people looking for a polycule. And so I was trying to define what a polycule was for my audience, right?
Okay.
And in that definition, I went, because I was like, what are some like really good examples you would know? So I went online to like look up examples of I swear to God, number one was the four Archie characters were a polycule. And I was like, what do you mean? They're like, oh yeah, no, they're all boning. And I was like, Archie? Archie. Jughead Archie. And they're like, yep.
That's so contentious.
Now you know that.
Jughead's supposed to be canonically asexual. And they ignored it for Riverdale. I'm sorry, I have to bring it up.
So you're an Archie purist.
I've read a lot of Archie.
No, I love to learn new things. This is good. And you were like, you were like, they're releasing Riverdale, and you were so excited, and then you watched it and were horrified. Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I did watch it. I did keep watching it because I love, you know, it's sitting right next to Teen Wolf. In terms of tone, and I love Teen Wolf, so I was like, I will keep watching this, but every choice they made with a character, I was like, what the fuck is happening?
You're like, I'm going to separate my brain from Archie, and this is...
They need to be separate. They do. Yeah, I can't think of them as the same characters. It's too crazy.
I've never read an original. I've just only seen them at the checkout, like this, as my groceries go by, and I've never participated in an Archie before.
Yeah, you're fine.
That's okay. Honestly, you're not missing out.
Sorry.
This is literally
I'm
the person who's like, I played this when I was three and I love it, but I cannot recommend it. Literally is me with Archie comics. Don't read them. They're not good.
Okay, I won't. I won't do it. I actually might now. Like, I'm actually very intrigued. I want to at least read one. I'm going to find Archie number one. Is it like mundane? I feel like they're like 1940s mundane comic books. That's the vibe. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It's, oh my gosh, Archie. Archie is the Bella Swan of the Archie comics. He's just a fucking normal dude and there's nothing special about him. But for some reason, every girl
is
obsessed with him. Yeah, it's that. And
he's just
every
he's like, get away from me.
Every comic is like, oh my gosh, I told Betty I'd take her to the diner, but I forgot that I also told Veronica I'd go shopping with her. Maybe I can do both. And then hijinks ensue. It's that shit.
Oh my God, I love it. Scooby-Doo, but without the ghosts.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. It's the same thing every episode. You're like, I got
Scooby-Doo
it.
If there was no mystery to solve. Yeah.
There's no mystery. Everybody's shopping.
Yeah, everybody's shopping. Jughead's eating burgers and talking about how much he does not like girls. Again, so weird.
He likes burgers.
He likes burgers.
He loves burgers.
Boys.
He likes burgers and beyond that?
We're not allowed to say because it's the 40s. But it might be penis. I don't know. But he's canonically asexual too, so I'm...
He's supposed
you.
To
I
be canonically asexual, yeah. And then they were like, but what if he was obsessed with Betty? Sorry, spoilers for Riverdale.
I watched Riverdale for like the first few seasons when it started airing, and I was like, what am I watching? They became vampires at one point, and I was like, I gotta go.
It got crazy. It got me. Yeah.
Yeah.
They fully were like, what if we just did whatever we want?
And they did.
Love that. Yeah.
And they did.
And they did. And you got to respect that.
Yeah.
You're like, Archie video game win.
You got to respect. They were given a check and they said, I could do whatever I want with this. Not everybody gets to experience
and
that
I
power.
No. They were like, Archie's pretty boring. So I think what we're going to do is make a musical episode.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
All good TV shows have a musical episode. I got nothing.
I don't know that I believe that, but I'll allow it. I'll allow it.
Musicals.
Mm-hmm. I'll allow them to exist, you know. I talked with the others.
Mm-hmm.
We feel like it's fine.
The others of who? Out of curiosity.
Yeah. It's like Mickey and
Goofy. Oh, the others? The council.
The council
Mickey,
from Kingdom Hearts.
And Donald.
The, like, scare people.
Yeah, me and Organization 13 met in our secret robed area. And we were all, we all had a thing, and Mickey showed up and was like, ha-ha, we're going to allow musicals. I was like,
all right. In 1920.
Adjacent to the Kingdom Hearts stuff, I am excited about a Ocarina of Time remake, because I love that game.
Very cool. We didn't really see any gameplay, but like, I don't think it matters particularly.
But we saw him looking like a sweet little baby boy, and I was like, oh.
I've never played Ocarina of Time.
Ooh, really? This could be the time. This could be the time to do it.
So this is, I do. So this is my demographic because I've tried to start playing Ocarina of Time before I was a streamer, like on an old DS. And it's like one of those things where if you've never played it, you're so fucking confused, respectfully. Because you're like, it's like you're dead ending and you don't know what's happening and there's not a lot of hints on what to do. And I just remember being like, what am I up to? Like, where am I going? And
it is not modern video game. I don't even know like the best way to describe it. It doesn't have the trappings of something you would play in the 2020s and beyond. It feels old.
No, I need her retelling because I need somebody to be like, so we're going to teach children how to play the game. And I needed that.
Right.
I'm excited. My first ever Zelda game was like Breath of the Wild. So
really?
Yeah, because I played video games like very young. My dad and mom like would play Tomb Raider with us. Like they would hook the PC up to our TV and we would play Tomb Raider as a family. Like it was like a big thing. And so that video games have always been part of my life. But for some reason that like Nintendo side really missed me for like most of my childhood. So I'm like really experiencing more of it. Like I got into like GameCube, Animal Crossing, and that was like kind of the gist of it. But not like Mario and Zelda, that's like all hitting me in adulthood. And that's, there's so much to catch up on.
There's
and
a lot.
Much like
yeah.
Kingdom Hearts, it's a purist central area where you're like, what's going on in Zelda's world? And they're like, there's multiple realms. And I'm like, okay.
They're all separate stories, but they're all canonical and they are all interconnected, but you can't really look at them that way in order to have a pure experience. So you're like, okay. Right.
Yeah, and when you go in with just Breath of the Wild, you're like, okay, I'm gonna just try to figure out at least this one game for 8,000 hours, and then I'll get back to you.
Right.
I'll get back
to you. Yeah, Breath of the Wild is still not a game I've ever been able to spend a whole lot of time with for some reason. I find it very overwhelming.
I think it's too open. I think it's like there's too much. Yeah.
You have to finish. If you have ADHD, you're like, I need a storyline. What's going on? Tell me where to go.
I like a linear story. I want to be guided a little bit.
I feel like for you, I feel like you play a lot of side scrollers. So you're like, this is your nightmare. You're like, it's open to an extent that I don't understand her.
I don't do well with open world games and I don't do super well with them. Yeah.
You're like, I go left, I go right. No. Okay. I have to go everywhere.
The most that I've played Breath of the Wild has been, again, with my kid, because she loves that I can just be like, here you go, your Link. And she just runs in a direction. Yeah, sure. And if and something attacks her, she goes, here you go. And I kill it. And then I hand it back to her and she keeps running. You know, she loves that. Yeah.
Can I? So I saw a ton of games this past week and I wanted. So if you are Zelda vibing. There's an Annapurna game coming out called Demi and the Fractured Dream. It is very old school Zelda coded, but obviously modern controls, modern everything. It's super fun, but it feels kind of like playing an Ocarina of Time or one of those older Zelda games. It's actually super entertaining. I clicked with it immediately because it reminded me of those old Zelda games. And so if you're like, I want to have that experience, but you know, I don't want to play the old version of Zelda. It's pretty cool.
It looks good. It's beautiful.
It looks cool.
Yeah.
It looks very Zelda. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, even gameplay mechanic wise, there was a room that I had to, there was like a book shooting a ball. And in order to open a hatch, I had to double reflect the ball with my shield and then hit a thing. And so it would go like boop, boop. That kind of stuff. Very, you know, early Zelda stuff.
You're like, this is the mechanic I'm familiar with.
Yes, I know exactly what I'm doing here. Yeah, it's always fun to me because I realize that means I'm just an old gamer when I sit there and I play and the dev will be like, you're the first person this morning that's gotten that. And I'm like, it's just because I know what you did here. It's not because I'm smart. It's because I've played so many games. I just know what this is.
I've done this.
This is how I feel checking every waterfall in a video game. I'm like, if I walk through this waterfall, will there be loot? And I played a game from this week. I played Spirit Crossing. I've been playing the hell out of it. It's like MMO. And they sponsored me. This is very rarely a thing that I do where they will sponsor me. And it's so good that I'm like, I can't stop talking about it. It's really fun. It's a fun MMO thing that I feel like I haven't seen a lot of people playing, but there are so many areas of waterfalls where I'm like, let me just peek in. And people are like, why are you doing that? I'm like, because behind the waterfall in a video game,
I always look behind.
And when there's not, I get a little offended. When there's nothing, like, I'm like,
I see you. Yes. Yeah. It's upsetting.
Or if there's like a side scroller and it's go left, I'm going to try going right first every time.
Yes. You're like, what's back
just
there?
Just to see. Yeah, because one time in one game, there was always something. It's like, yeah, I feel smart. So now I want that feeling again, and I chase it every time.
Yeah, it's our brain. I feel like you have a gamer brain, and that's like breaking a pot and walking behind a waterfall and heading to the left. Like, mm-hmm. You've got like things that people who've never played a video game are like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Why are you smashing that's where treasure everything? Is. Yeah. What's wrong?
Yeah, so this past week was Summer Games Fest. We got all the stuff. We had all the things. But during the weekend, there's this thing called Play Days, which is a very fun, you like kind of go downtown, and it's like a micro E3. It's what E3 was, except instead of a giant convention center, it's literally on one block of downtown LA, and all the buildings are closed off and become like little places to go play video games. And so it's all industry people. It's pretty chill, and I love it to death. It's genuinely... out of all the things Jeff Keighley has ever done, it's my favorite thing, and I love it. I truly think it's awesome. But I got to play so many games, and I'm going to just rattle off things to you. If you have any interest in any of these, I can elaborate. So first off, I played pinball, which, by the way, Stern Pinball had like real-ass pinball machines, but they have a Pokemon pinball and a Transformers pinball. And the Pokemon pinball, you like catch Pokemon. Literally, it has episodes playing. It's incredible. I was dominating that. I was the second highest score. I felt so good. I was like, yes! They told me it was for children.
Pokemon Pinball was on the game. There was a Game Boy.
I remember Pokemon Pinball. I played the shit out of that. Yeah,
me too. I was like, it feels like a thing of bygone. So there, that's cool.
Yes. So that was fun. I played Nokomi Nazi Hunter, which is a game where you literally play as a guy who just murders Nazis. I had a fun time. I had a great experience. But I didn't really get to see much of it, so I have no idea what the sort of like core gameplay loop of that game is. But that was fun. Okay. Played Crimson Moon, which is a Souls-like game, which is like you're an angel-looking dude. It's very kind of Warhammer aesthetically looking kind of game. And I thought I was great until I fought the boss and it one-shot me. And I was like, cool, man. Nope, I still suck at these. Then I went and saw Ion 2. The MMORPG is coming out with a sequel. And
how do you spell that?
And A-I-O-N.
Okay. Making sure. Yeah.
It is one of those games where every man is gorgeous. Every woman is beautiful. There's all these incredible sexy outfits and stuff when you play this game. However, I will say, while I was there, I don't know if I was lucky or I was the first catch of the day. But when I went into that room, it was me and like 8 devs. I was the only person there for that room. So the devs and I, we had this huge conversation. I got to like see them mess around with the game and it was great. But the best part was, is they kept showing me these beautiful characters. And I was like, question, can I just make like the ugliest character imaginable? And the guy playing behind me was like, oh my God, yes, dude. Of course you can. I think he was just so happy someone was like, yeah, no, I don't want this. I want to make like a guy named Gringus who has like one arm bigger than the other and like huge yep. eyes, but a really small mouth. And he's like, no, you can do that. And I was like, all right, we're good. All right, please continue. So that was very fun. I played Escape Academy 2, and I will it's great. So unlike the first game, which was kind of room to room to room, this is the entire campus is open to you now. And so everything is a puzzle. So you can run around, you can find little micro puzzles, you can find, like, this one guy literally is like, man, I want a bag of chips, and if you give me a bag of chips, I'll give you this thing you need, and you're like, all right. So you go to a vending machine, but the vending machine layout is like Sudoku, so you have to figure out what the right number to press for the thing he wants is, so you have to do the, like, you know, you have to do that. There's a weird, you know, like, you look through binoculars, and you'll see a number, and you're like, okay, and then you'll find a padlock somewhere that has, like, red binoculars and yellow binoculars and blue binoculars. So you need to find those and order it, but it's all over. And then there's the normal, you go into a classroom and you do a thing. So very fun. Loved that a lot. That'll be great. Then I saw Wolf Among Us Remastered,
Yeah.
It's Wolf Among Us, but it's gorgeous looking. So, like, you know, if you enjoy that, please play. I wanted to see two. I want to see the sequel, but I did not. So yeah. I got nothing for you. Fractured Blooms is a game that I am obsessed with now. It is a farming simulator with anime girls, except it's a horror game.
Okay.
Okay.
It is. You are like, you're a young woman who's going back to this farm. You're sort of reliving your past. But also the game, the way it plays out is like a meta narrative where it like boots you to desktop and like messes with you and goes like, like crazy. So I'm super in. I'm obsessed with this game. It looks awesome. Yeah.
I mean, like Doki Doki.
Yeah.
Same vibe. Exactly. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Then Atari has a bunch of remasters they're doing. I got to play a bunch of different games, like the old Godzilla, where you'd fight all the different monsters and like sort of a Street Fighter thing. Good stuff. But more importantly, Thief Remastered. I got to play that. So if you love Dishonored or sneaky games, this is like the OG remastered. It's not like a new engine or anything. It's literally, it's like you're playing the old one, but with modern accoutrement. And I love that game. So I must stress, if you've never played it, give it a look. Then, for my hardcore nerds out there, I got to see, I'm not sure what I can talk about yet, but I got to see the Warhammer 40K Total War stuff. Holy shit is all I'll say about that. The one question I have isn't if you like Warhammer, if you're going to like this, you will. I'm curious if Total War fans will like it because it feels so different.
Mm.
Then I went and saw more of Resident Evil Veronica, which I can't say a word about. And then I saw more Onimusha, which is awesome. I'm still not sure if it's completely a Souls-like or if it is like RPG with Souls-y things involved. Because there are many games where it's like RPG stuff, but then, you know, it's not, it looks Souls-ish, but isn't. So I'm not really sure yet. Then I must stress, I don't know who these two extremely, I'm going to say, talented, funny, and beautiful women. I don't know who they were. They're from some British outlet, but I went and I played the new Turok game. And It is a three player, like you go around fighting aliens and dinosaurs, and it's very fun. But I also don't know if my entire experience was colored by the fact that these two women who were playing with me were the funniest people to play a game with I've ever experienced in my life. So one of the girls was playing as the tank. So you can, there's multiple people you can be, and then there's classes, right? So you can be any number of like absolutely the most gorgeous characters covered in like face paint, look like jacked as shit, and they got like guns. Gorgeous looking though.
Is this the Turok game that you're talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you can select classes. And I guess she picked the tank class. So anytime we fight a giant boss, it would always charge her and she would always scream, "Why is it after me?" And so every time it was hilarious. Every time. And it was a treat to play. If that is any indication of the final product, I should just get the two of them involved. I have no idea where they're from. Some, they had British accents, so somewhere in the UK.
You find them.
And I was like, you are fun to play games with. And then I played the new Stuntman game, which, you know what? I don't have much experience with Stuntman games, and I didn't know what to expect. And I found myself loving it. Essentially, you are in like, you know, famous cars from you know, movies, and you have to do a stunt scene for a movie, and your guy, the director, is like in your ear, and he's like, "All right, so what you're gonna do in this next, you're gonna drive forward and I need you to brush right next to that car." And so while you're driving, you'll see like a green, a yellow, and a red, and you want to hit the green next to the car. It'll be like, "All right, I need to turn a drift up here," and so there's like a little thing, and so you have to like hit the drift exactly where it says. So you're trying to do like stunts and stuff. Genuinely enjoyed. I tried to get an 8 or 9 out of 10 on every course. I hit 7 on one and I kept playing till I got an 8 on it. I refused to not. I was like, "I'm getting this." And the devs were like, no, keep going. I'm like, "Okay, I'm getting this though." And so that was very fun. For some reason, clicked with me. I got to see some of the Saw game, which is a sort of one of those, I think 3 or 4v1 Like, there's one guy who sets up all the traps, and then there's a group of people that have to escape.
Like a Dead by Daylight sort of
kind of
thing.
Yeah. Except there's more of a, like, it's, there's, you can still, like, if I capture you, you can be in a trap, and you can, like, cut your arm off to escape and help, but you now have missing arm. You know what I mean? That kind of stuff. You can, like, do things to, it's interesting. I'm really curious to see actually more of it than what we saw, but, you know, I'm also, that's not my genre of game. So I'm also like, whatever, have fun. Then a game that I think will probably be up Dodger's alley. This, you know what? This might be a classic for years to come. I just don't know. It's called Forever Ago.
Okay. You
play as an old man. I think very clearly before the game starts, your wife has passed, and you are reliving the journey that you and she took on, like, either one great road trip or the story of your relationship. And you go revisit these places with a camera and you snap photos, and it's like really heartwarming and really sad. But then at the end of the demo, there's like a really trippy scene where he's back in his old house in like a dream, and there's rose petals everywhere, and he hears his wife's voice, and he's like trying to find her, but he can't. And I'm like, what is this game? Because it starts to do like the walls are moving and stuff shifting. And I'm like, what are we playing? So I don't know. I have no idea, but okay. Very cool. Yeah, I definitely feel like at the end I'm going to cry, but yeah. Then also I played Detopia, which is that game where you are a little, it's very cute. It is a game where you are like a little tiny, I don't know, animu looking guy. You run around and you fix stuff in this sort of paradise utopian society, except the robots there, something's up. I'm not sure what. They keep giving me like a weird, like,
he knows too much.
Like that kind of stuff. I'm like, okay. So that could be a game that ends up being kind of a mystery more than just what it is right now, at least what I played, puzzles. Like you'll go fix something and you have to solve a puzzle. And then you fix something and you solve a puzzle. Then I think the two that I'm really excited for that I it's so stuff I'm into. One, Lost Wilds. I got to see that.
Okay.
It is literally getting lost in Jurassic Park, the game. You play as this young woman who is lost in this on this island with dinos. And it's awesome. I'm not exactly, again, entirely sure what I can say, but I will say that the dinosaurs are not just pre-programmed creatures that show up whenever they show up. They are creatures that they've given, like, oh, we gave this guy a personality. We gave this guy like a, he's a hunter, so he's going to be trying to hunt you, and he's not going to just stand there and wait to jump scare you. He literally is in the background walking around looking for you the entire time, and I'm like, mm-mm. When they were done with the presentation, the woman who was giving it was like, you shook your head so many times. I was like, I didn't like what I said. It was scary, and frankly, I didn't like it. So yeah, that's going to be fun. And then I saw Silent Hill Townfall, which is going to be huge, but it's by the same team that did Stories Untold and Observation, all these games that I love. And this time it's first person Silent Hill, except there's no UI from what I can tell. It's literally just like you looking out someone's eyes, except the UI element is you have a TV, a handheld TV, and you have to tune into frequencies. And instead of a map on screen, you'll tune in and it will show you like you'll hear a voiceover of someone being like, where are you? I need you to come find me. But then it'll show you a flash of stairs, flash of a lamppost, flash of a wall. And so you have to go around the town and find those locations to find where you're going. And then if there's a monster, the way you track them is you tune into their frequency and then you have to hold the thing and you can see them running by, and that's how you can figure out where they're at. Other than that, there was nothing on that damn screen. I was like, okay. Which to me, I'm not sure how much like combat there's going to be. I'm not like, I don't know anything. All I know is base level what, you know, I was able to see, but like, I like that kind of stuff. So yeah, it was very fun. Got to see all sorts of cool stuff. My favorite...
Holy shit, you played a crossover, lot of stuff.
Yes, my favorite crossover of everything was Barbie was there, and Barbie was working with Atari, and they had a lemonade stand, a Barbie-themed lemonade stand, and I, for some reason, I kept calling it Atarby, because it was Atari Barbie, was like, yeah, I'm at the Atarby stand. And everyone's like, what are you talking about? It's like, yeah, I was getting lemonade at Atarby. And they're like, oh, Barbie? I was like, yeah, sorry, my bad, Barbie. So it's good times.
Atari
Barbie. I love getting to play all those games. It was a real treat.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, I also got to play Control and Ace Combat, but that was a week before, and those were great. And I have videos that exist online, and I must stress, I love them both.
Here we go. Not to make you talk more, but I think we've got to wrap in the next like 5 to 10 minutes. Do you think you could rapid fire news?
Of course, you know I can. Yeah. Okay. So, Ninja Theory, the studio that you probably know from the Hellblade games, was working on another game that unfortunately got canceled. We found out it was called Project Mara. It sounds awesome, and I'm so disappointed we didn't get this. It was a grounded, photorealistic representation of mental terror set in a single apartment. That's what I want. That's all I want, like a really like short, sweet, escape room-esque horror game. But that was scrapped, and the entire team is now working on their next game, which is set to release in 2027. Then we got Xbox, the new CEO, Asha Sharma, was like, hey, we found out last week that their plan is to make Xbox the number one gaming company by 2030. Bless, good luck, have fun. But in order to do that, immediately after that announcement, apparently significant layoffs and budget cuts are now part of their strategic reset. And according to an internal memo, $20 billion was invested over the last 5 years and stuff, but they're only making $500 million. So there's like all sorts of crazy stuff going down. To stabilize the business, they're basically firing people. So there you go. Meanwhile, Chief Content Officer at Xbox, Mac Booty, was like, guys, ignore all that. Elder Scrolls 6 is coming. We promise you. I've seen it. It's amazing. It's so good. Mm-hmm. However, we are not going to speak on it right now, and it will be a while before it's out. So don't stress it. But it's good, guys. It's really, really good. I just want to point out to everyone.
It's happening, not talk about it or ask questions.
Right. Yeah.
Just trust me on it.
Yeah. You just got to trust, guys. This whole thing has to be built on trust.
And so I just want to say for the record, I was there in 2018. I feel like, what's his face from Lord of the Rings? He's like, I was there, Gandalf, 3,000 years ago. Like, that's how I feel. Because I was there in 2018 at that announcement for Xbox when they were like, Elder Scrolls 6. Nothing since. So that's, you know, I saw the weakness of men that day. Meanwhile, over at Ubisoft, they announced they're closing their Belgrade and Winnipeg studios alongside more reconstruction and restructuring of the Barcelona office. They're firing more people. This sadly shouldn't come as a surprise because I have no idea what Ubisoft is doing anymore. Aside from firing people, they barely make games now. So cool, man. Then maybe some slightly good news. We saw the revival of Kingdom Hearts 4. That's right. We talked about it earlier. The trailer highlighted some of the more interesting, realistic looking stuff, which I'm not sure how to take because it's never been that before. And they confirmed that it will be a day one launch title for Nintendo's upcoming for Switch 2, PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, and PC, which again, I think is what they're doing with Final Fantasy, whatever the new one is, reunited. I can't remember what the reincarnation. I don't know. I can't remember what the new one's called.
Me neither.
And so it looks like Square is going to be putting games out on everything now, which is probably what they should have been doing from the beginning. Then, speaking of Nintendo, we got information that Fire Emblem Fortune's Weave, the new Fire Emblem game, is going to be on Switch 2. But hilariously, and a thing that I guess Switch is going to do from now on, the physical copy is going to be $80 while the digital is $70. And the reason why is Nintendo is betting that anyone who's going to buy a physical copy is either going to buy the $120 premium special edition or be willing to pay $80 for the normal one. That's what they're doing now. Video games, baby. And then Capcom has Dragon's Dogma 2, Dark Arisen. There's a new DLC coming out, and basically they say it's all the complaints people had. They're trying to fix, and they're trying to make new stuff for it, so it'll be fun to check out. Anyway, we got some games on the 12th. We already talked about this once last week, but I'll say it again. Goblin Company comes out. You play goblins, you dig, you do goofy stuff. Seems tons of fun. Also, Teller's Duty comes out today. You're a bank teller. You process transactions. You look for fraud. But you also have to deal with the fact that you live in a dystopian hellscape. And I'm sure that will cause interesting things to happen.
Classic.
Then there's Don't Let It Starve, a bento building simulator where you have to Tetris food into a box to give to a monster so you can earn your freedom. The way they described it, and I think this is really funny, we all love the Resident Evil 4 inventory system. Now do it with food. So there you go. If you know that joke, you love that, and it's a solid goof. And then next week on the 18th, there's two games coming out. First is R-Type Tactics 1 to Cosmos, which is crazy because it is one of the R-Type games. So it's like you're shooting your way through the stars, but it's a tactical turn-based strategic RPG. So imagine you're on the same screen where you're shooting giant looking monsters, except it's tactics. I actually really want to play because it seems incredibly weird. And then speaking of RPGs, The Adventures of Elliot, The Millennium Tales, the brand new action RPG from the creators of Octopath Traveler and Bravely Default comes out. It looks very cool. It has a very fun vibe. And so that is what's coming out next week.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jessup.
It was really that was very impressive.
Yeah,
thank you. I sped through that. It as fast as I could.
You did so good. You did amazing.
Thank you,
Lexi. Thank you so much for being such a lovely guest.
Thank you for having me.
Will you please tell everybody where they can find you and what you're going to be up to this next week?
Yeah, I'm probably inhaling solarpunk. I also started Memento this week, which is like unpacking, but everything that you place in the house determines how your character grows and changes the storyline. Incredible. Played it today. Didn't expect to. Cried. So I'm going to be streaming this week. I know. It's one of those things where, like, I think same with unpacking. I was like, I'm going to cry. So I'll be streaming. I stream Eastern time in the mornings, 8 a.m. to like 2 p.m. And I stream at night sometimes, but I have a 3-year-old. So it depends on if he sleeps. I'm on YouTube for all my VODs and I'm on TikTok, but not really anymore because I'm old. So, and that's about it.
Fantastic.
Thank you for having me. I had a blast.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You were great. Jesse, what have you got going on this week, man?
Well, I'm back from being away doing stuff. I don't know what I can say yet, but I filmed like a really cool thing with Magic the Gathering that will come out eventually. And I'm going to try and get through Road to Empress and all these other games that are on my desktop because I've got a lot.
One day I'll
play them. Hopefully soon, because now I've got the rest of the summer to just get stuff done.
Hell yeah. I have no idea what I'm playing next. I really went hard on Road to Empress trying to finish it, and I finally did. So now we can cast our gaze at other things. But as for Geekenders, if you guys enjoyed watching today, you can find all of the other Geekenders on youtube.com/Jesse Cox. We are also on the podcasting apps and sites if you'd like to just listen to us instead. However you'd like to ingest the show, we would appreciate it very much. But otherwise, have a fantastic weekend and week, and we'll see you next Friday. So long, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the Geekenders podcast. Mega Ran, Jesse and Dodger, what up? Let's go.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow and see what the Geekenders are all about.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt. Yo, another end of another long week. Got a job and a kid, I know that you all beat. So take a second, grab a drink and vibe while we catch you up in just a matter of time. On gaming, comics, whatever you're doing. If you're nerdy like us, then you know you should tune in. Thank you for sharing our world with us. Now follow, subscribe, and turn this up.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on, scream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt.